Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Bet you didn't think this would be the year you achieved the dream of flight. iFly Indoor Skydiving lets you experience the freedom and thrill of flying. No experience or wings required. iFly is fun for people of all ages and abilities, and it's the perfect choice for a night out with friends, family birthday parties, corporate events, or even just celebrating a Thursday. You'll never forget your first time flying. Go to iFlyWorld.com and use code TAKEFLIGHT for 20% off. That's iFlyWorld.com. Code take flight.
And welcome back again to the Expressway here on alumniradio.com. Check us out each and every Wednesday from 10:15 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. We are the BT Express, Billy Teller and Charles. Show me the way right here each and every Wednesday live on alumnimedia.com. You can check us out each and every week talking about all things in sports, whether it's the New York Giants, New York Jets, or whether it's NBA basketball, Major League Baseball, or even golf, because you know our boy Tiger Woods. We got a lot to talk about Tiger. Tiger just came out with a new clothing line. We got the Super Bowl to talk about. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. But first, as always, we are taking you around the New York area. We're going to hit the Giants first. We're going to talk about some Giants news. Hey, BT, last week there was rumors out, and they don't have to make a decision officially yet, but there were rumors out that they're not the Giants won't franchise Saquon Barkley, but that doesn't kind of limit them or kind of puts them out of the picture of re-signing him. They just won't franchise tag him. What do you think about that?
Well, I think they realize that the advantage they have, they can meet any price that he gets from anybody else. Even if Jim Harbaugh of the Los Angeles Chargers offers him 3 years or $50 million, because I know Christian McCaffrey is going to be probably the highest paid running back again because he's going to get a new contract, and deservedly so. He led his team to the Super Bowl. But Saquon still, for me, is a guy who works hard and he deserves what he can get. And I think he deserves at least a 2 or 3 year contract and to get a little bit of comfort in his life. And I'm not saying he doesn't already, because he's made like $40 million already, which is more than any running back the Giants have ever had. So I just think that we can really, really help somebody. And if the Giants don't want him, then so be it. Go somewhere else and get paid.
Yeah. What do you think that is? Because right now, obviously looking in at the playoffs, you either need a good quarterback at the helm or some pretty good talent around you at the skill position on offense, i.e. running back, wide receiver, and tight end. And I just don't see the Giants are lacking, and it's arguable lacking all three if you want to count Darren Waller's lack of performance given his injury status this year. They need a star at each position if they don't bring Saquon back. So what do you think? How are they going to address that? Whether it's be free agency, do you think they can address it in the draft? How are they going to address those three skill positions?
Well, the thing about it is that they said you can get a running back anytime, but I don't think you can get a Saquon at any time. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to hurt the Giants. It'll bite them if they lose him, because I don't think anybody can do the double threat of catching the ball and running the ball from line of scrimmage. They also need offensive line help. They need a wide receiver. They said there's about 8 good wide receivers in the draft. The Giants need to come up with at least one of them with the 6th pick. But then again, Charles, do we go with an offensive lineman? And they say they got about 6 good ones out there. And the Giants will have a choice, especially if 5 quarterbacks come off the board of the first 3 and then the receivers come off. Then I think the Giants will have their advantage at number 6. Do you think they should go with the offensive line or wide receiver? I still think if you get the great offensive lineman, you know, the for sure deal, and there's no for sure deals, then you can get a wide receiver later down there, because there's so many out there.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, there is some talk that the Giants may even think about trading up. I think that would be a bad move because now you're losing draft capital. I think this is a draft where you need to accumulate as many picks as you can to because you have a lot of holes. You got the defensive line position you have to shore up a little bit, especially offensive line is a question mark. And you need a playmaker. When you look at the wide receivers coming out in the draft, I think they're really only one, two. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably a lock to be a legit superstar. Yep. I think there's some question marks with the LSU guy. I just don't trust LSU. I mean, Odell Beckham he made some great plays his rookie year, but he wasn't really, really part of the offense his first year. And I just don't trust the kid from Washington that everybody's talking about as a big play receiver coming right in and making an impact on the team. So I think that you got three or four good free agents at the wide receiver position that we talked about last week. You know, Higgins from Cincinnati will be available as well. I think that's a guy that they should go after. If you're going to spend money on a receiver. We see that good receivers change games, i.e. look at Miami and look at Kansas City too, but Deebo Samuels at San Francisco. Yep. So I think you need to pay attention to the skill position and probably get a playmaker in that position.
Well, I think they definitely need a playmaker besides Saquon. And the thing about it is you need a receiver which will accept, you know, separation and riddle. If you think about it, the quarterback may not have good room to put it in there, but it's up to the receiver to create that. I don't think any receiver the Giants had, Shepherd or anybody, Darren Waller, who showed me that this year. Maybe Waller will, but then his history is showing up because they say he got hurt with the Raiders, and that was the reason they traded him to the Giants. So they've got to do due diligence on their scouting so that they bring in people who can help them this year. You know, you always talk about, well, two years down the line. I don't think Brian Daboll has 2 years down the line. He's got to do something this year. In lieu of what happened to his coaching staff, and you saw Wink Markham went to the University of Michigan as their defensive coordinator. I don't know if that's good or bad, or is that a downward move or an upward move? I don't know, but the Giants, you know, it's going to be up in the air if they do something with their defensive coordinator, because the guy from the Tennessee Titans, I don't really know about him that much, just about what his record is and what he allows on third down. But I don't know what his record is. You heard about Markham going to Michigan?
Yeah. And one of the other things that I saw is that a lot of teams are trying to take a lot of the Giant coaches from the staff. Just this past week, the Giants denied the defensive line coach from seeking another job or being interviewed for another similar position, which they can do. It just goes to show you that from my experience, that D-line coach already got a call from somebody that was like, hey, I want you to come coach for us. And he was like, well, you got to talk to the Giants to see if they'll give you permission. So that wouldn't even happen if he wasn't even slightly interested in moving, right? And so I think there's some concern within the organization that Brian Daboll has to get some control over his staff and the team, for that matter, based off of all of the talk that was coming out of the locker room at the end of the year.
What's something for me is that this first year he came in, I thought it was outstanding as a teacher, of being able to teach people proper technique and different things like that, which you need in football. This year, I think losing got to him. And it probably does get to anybody. If you lose and you're a competitor, it's going to hurt you. My little boy tries to beat me in basketball, and I will kick his behind until the day I die. But eventually, you know he's going to win. So I just think that Brian Daboll's got to make some changes. And it's got to be his personality, because I don't think you can motivate people by screaming at them on the sideline. And I hope that he takes that into consideration and realizes that you can get a lot more done if you just talk to a person, especially during the course of a game. I never thought that you can get a lot by, you know, and I see a lot of coaches do it during the course of a game. I just don't think that it works for some people, and you need to find out who it works for and who it does not. I know Danny Jones didn't get bothered by it because he was on the sideline, didn't even flinch. And so I just think that you know, Brian Daboll, maybe that gives him ammunition to do somebody else. But I think that's the reason the defensive coordinator, Wink, is not there, because of the arguments he had on the sideline with Brian Daboll.
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of issues that I think the Giants have to work through next year. I think one important is, A, solidifying, not only solidifying the skill positions on the offense, but making sure they have a solid offensive line. And the defensive line is another key area of need that they have to address, whether it's free agency or the draft. I think the D-line, interior D-line, and specifically D-tackle, they have to address. And then a linebacker, bring in a linebacker that could actually play. The Okereke came in and did a great job. I think they need another one, especially if they're moving to a 4-3. I'm not sure what type of defense the Tennessee Titans guy plays, but I think he plays a 4-3 defense. So if they are going through a 4-3 defense, they're going to have to bring in two other good linebackers, outside linebackers that can handle the load and be a force, not only in the passing game, but in the run game.
Well, see, what I'm hoping for is that this new defensive coordinator from the Titans, when you bring in somebody new, they have a plethora of athletes that know around the league. And hopefully he knows someone, maybe on one of his former players on the Titans or something, who may be a diamond in the rough. And that's what I'm hoping for. The Giants get a defensive tackle to go with Dexter Lawrence that can make them formidable this coming year. But I still think that they need skill positions offensively. I think wide receiver's got to be something. I don't know if he drafts another tight end because of Darren, but I like their backup tight end also. But my problem is, too, is that if you don't have an offensive line, then I'm worried about you also. And see, I just want one time for Saquon to have one of those Emmitt Smith offensive lines. And just to remind you, Emmitt Smith used to come through the hole without being touched until he got to the safety. And he made me mad one time because Mark Collins was a Giants defensive back, and he got ahead of Mark, and then he reached back and told him to come on. And that made me mad, and that's one of the other reasons I don't like the Cowboys' arrogancy. And then they asked him, Emmitt Smith, you got 1,800 yards, you going to make 2,000? He said something like, what are you going to do for the offensive line? He said, what am I going to do for them? What are they going to do for me? I got 1,800 yards. He said that. You know, just one of them things that just kills me on the Cowboys. Did you see the commercial with a guy pretending to be the Cowboy coach?
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, you know, Kevin Smart. Kevin,
he don't look nothing like him at all.
It's crazy, right?
But anyway, I just think that if you get an offensive line together, it doesn't matter. It's going to help Danny Jones. And then you talked about Giants possibly looking at a quarterback. I mean, I think they need a backup, but you think they need a starting quarterback? Because if they get one of the top five, this guy's got to play.
Yeah, and that's the question. I don't have any confidence in Daniel Jones. I do question his health, and will he be healthy enough to last an entire season, especially given how he likes to run the ball. I think part of what makes Daniel Jones successful is his ability to run around the pocket, to run for yardage. I think when you take that away, he becomes an average quarterback, and so that concerns me. I do think they need to look at other quarterback options. I just don't think in this draft is the proper time to do it, given that I don't have confidence in the top three guys they're talking about going top three as a quarterback. I do like making a trade for Justin Fields, especially if Chicago looks at a quarterback. They're going to be looking to trade Justin Fields. Came off of a great year. I think it's a great opportunity. You're not taking too much of a chance with him, because he's in his final year, I think final 2 years of his contract. So you're not taking too much of a flyer on him. He has a chance to prove himself, especially if you're looking at a quarterback. Justin Fields has done it. He's been playing, and I think he gives us an opportunity. As far as the Jets is concerned, I just heard that, you know, Sauce Gardner is a free agent and he's out there. If you're the Jets, I'm franchising Sauce Gardner, and I'm paying him anything, because he was one of the key parts of the defense. So if they lose him, they lose a key core of what that defense is.
Well, so I've always thought that if you have a shutdown corner, which means that you can take a wide receiver out of the game, for instance, Kelce last week, he didn't do anything in the first half because they did a good job of taking him out. Belichick does a super job of that. I like that philosophy. If somebody's beating you, then you figure out a way to stop them. And I think when you have a defensive back like that, you got to get him in somehow, because it's a key, because you're playing 10 on 9 if you can get a defensive back to shut down the opposing wide receiver. And I think Sauce Gardner is one of the best defensive backs, young defensive backs that I've seen. And you got to have a defensive backfield to get to the playoffs.
Absolutely. And we'll pick this up on the other side. We're running into a break here. You're listening to the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Teller and Charles Show Me the Way, right here on alumnimedia.com. Check us out each and every Wednesday from 10:15 to 11:15 live on alumnimedia.com. If you miss us live on alumnimedia.com, you can always check us out on YouTube starting at 9 a.m. Check the recording of our show on Fridays at 9 a.m. on YouTube. Well, we got a lot more to talk about. We'll finish up our Jets conversation. And as always, we're going to talk about Taylor Swift Super Bowl or the Chiefs in the 49ers Super Bowl. We'll be right back in a minute. To the Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me the Way here with the BT Express, Billy Teller, and you're checking us out live on alumnimedia.com. You can check us out each and every Wednesday from 10:15 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. live on alumnimedia.com. If you miss us and you can't make it at 10:15, you can always check us out. The recording always pops up on YouTube at 9 a.m. Check us out each and every Wednesday live on alumnimedia.com or on YouTube starting Fridays at 9 a.m. Well, BT, we just got finished talking about the Giants, and we started hitting on Sauce Gardner and the Jets. You know, Jets offseason has been quiet. I think free agency is going to be huge for them. Obviously, free agency, finding a good offensive lineman. That's, you know, we talk about trading up and moving pieces around. I think for the Jets, given they have quality skill position players, I think they have a nice quarterback. They can get a backup quarterback in free agency. I think if you're picking a team that needs to trade up for something, it's the Jets trading up to get a good offensive lineman. We just talked about draft prognosticators saying that the top three picks are going to be quarterbacks. The next three picks have a potential to be wide receivers potentially. And so going, I think they're number 10. So going from 6 to 10, 10 down to 6 isn't, I don't think you got to give up a lot. You probably may have to give up a number one from next year or something like that. But if you look at the grand scheme of things and you think Aaron Rodgers is going to play two more years, which everybody is saying he is planning to play two more years after this year, I think they can afford to lose a pick to see if they can get a good offensive lineman at 6, 7, or 8.
I think you must do that, Charles. If you think about the Jets in the past, the only problem they've had is the offensive line and the quarterback. They tried to get the situation together with Aaron Rodgers. Zach Wilson is a bust. But I think if they get one more good offensive lineman in there to kind of be a mean guy up front, I think they will help themselves tremendously. And I think with the number 10 pick, you can do that because, as you noted, there's three quarterbacks in the top three. There's receivers up there. And then, again, they talked about five quarterbacks possibly being in the first round. If that's true, then the Jets have a chance to get an awesome person at the offensive line position. If they do that, you know, a lot of people were disappointed this year, and I was too, because I wanted to see Aaron Rodgers, see what he's going to do in the playoffs. They're in a tough-ass division because you look at what Kansas City did. You look at Baltimore, how they're doing. You look at Cincinnati coming back with their quarterback. You look at Buffalo. They got a tough road, and for Aaron Rodgers to be ahead of all them, he's got to come with his A game every single week. And I you know, it's, the jury's still out on what's going to happen. But I want the Jets fans to be excited, and hopefully they get a chance, you know, to at least reach the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm excited. I just don't know that once those offensive linemen, and you know this, in the draft, once a position of need starts to go, especially offensive linemen, they go pretty quick. And so at 10, if the Giants, we talked about the Giants at number 6 picking an offensive lineman, people are going to start getting scared and start moving up. You don't want what happened to the Giants last year, where Pittsburgh jumped in front of them to get an offensive lineman that they wanted, and because they settled in the spot that they were at. So if I'm the Jets, I'm gonna be very aggressive on draft day. I'm gonna try to get a higher pick, especially to take care of the offensive line. As far as the other positions, I think you can get them done in free agency, kind of fill a couple of holes. But offensive line, we spoke about it. I don't know if there's a great free agent offensive lineman out there that's young, not beat up, and won't be susceptible to injury. Try to go after a young guy who may be raw, but maybe a very high draft pick and maybe capable of doing what he needs to do to protect Aaron Rodgers.
My problem is that the Jets' history in the draft, besides bringing in Sauce Gardner and the receiver that they have, Garrett, I think they haven't really done a good job with the offensive line when they drafted him, because they drafted a couple ones and they're not just showing me any kind of potential. And I think you can see within the first couple of years if someone has a potential to get better. And I haven't seen that on the Jets' offensive line. They may be starting from zero, because Beckham is a definite negative. As big as he is. Is that his name, Beckham? Big left tackle for the Jets?
Yeah, Mekhi Beckham.
I watched him 5 or 6 times and just get killed. I mean, get beat inside, outside, every way he could be. And if he hadn't shown and proven by now, then I think it's not for him. And the Jets, I would do anything I could. I'd trade. I'd move up draft picks to get somebody in there who you can trust. And, you know, trusting offensive line is more valuable than anything that any team can have.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. When you look at the Jets, they don't have as much a lot of holes to fill as the Giants do. So, like I said, I think for them, they need to shore up their offensive side of the ball, make sure that whoever they lose in free agency on the defensive side of the ball, so they have people behind them that can come in and step up. Now let's turn our attention to the Super Bowl. Obviously, this was the most watched Super Bowl of all time, the most watched show on TV of all time. And so if you don't think Taylor Swift is the Pied Piper in all of this, you got another thing coming. I think the NFL enjoys having Taylor Swift a part of their show. But the game, I think the game going to overtime, having the decisions that they did, and was an amazing game. What do you think?
Well, the first half was kind of low key for me, and I was waiting for things to happen. But see, I've always felt if they can get it, you know, close by halftime, then we got a chance for a great second half. I actually got nervous in the fourth quarter and in overtime, which I never do because the games aren't usually that close. And I was just nervous for everybody. And I thought for sure that Patrick Mahomes showed that he might be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. To be in that situation, to be, you know, in a situation where you got to drive your team down the field and you don't have a lot of time to do it. And just the smoothness and the calmness and the coolness of Patrick Mahomes. The thing about it was they got so many great quarterbacks in the American Football Conference. I don't know if he could do it again. But he showed me that he's outstanding. I'm so proud of Texas Tech University, where he went to school. But like I said, I don't know if too many people could have did what he did.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that brings me to my next question. Are we calling him the GOAT? Or does he still have 3 more Super Bowls to win before we call him the GOAT? Because I think everybody's comparing him to Tom Brady. He's 28. I think he has more Super Bowl wins than Tom Brady has when he was 28, I believe. Or if you're counting years in the league, they're about the same. But is he in the GOAT category or what? What do you think?
He's got to be in the category, because there's only one football player who's made it where they've had three titles and two MVPs. And he's the first football player that did. They had like Larry Bird and Bill Russell. They had a hockey player in there. Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio were in there. No football players had ever been there. He's the first ever to do that before he's 28. The thing about Brady is I just think that, you know, he took care of himself. Like I think, but I don't know if Pat Mahomes does, because when he took off his shirt, he looked a little bit chubby. But I've never seen Brady look like he's chubby. Even Phil Simms, who you had a chance to know pretty well. I played with him his first 3 years, and he was in great shape. He saw, you could see his ribs. And so I think a quarterback has got to kind of exhibit that. And maybe he's complacent. I don't think he is, but, you know, he looked like he wasn't working out with the weights very much.
Yeah, well, given what he's done, how he's done it, I was having a conversation with someone. When you look at Kansas City and you look at their team as a whole, and on paper, they did not have the best team in the NFL. On paper, they had the best player in the NFL, and that probably matters more than having the best team, because you look at what Brady did with the six Super Bowl wins. I think the only team he had a great team surrounding him was Tampa. Yeah. Tampa Bay was probably, he had a good offense, had some good running backs. I mean, not great running backs, but Michael Evans, when he did catch the ball, he caught the ball. Yeah. But Tampa Bay had a good defense, and they spent a lot of money for that team. So if you talk about Tom Brady's six Super Bowl wins, out of the six, do you consider Tampa Bay the best team, the best team of players he had around him? Or would you consider New England, any of the New England teams, the best teams he was on?
Well, in the beginning, even when they won back-to-back in 2003 and 2004, it was their defense of Bill Belichick that really led the charge. And he just did not make mistakes. He managed the game very well. He wasn't really brought on to win the games until kind of the end of his career. And he got his seventh Super Bowl with Tampa Bay, who I thought had the best team that he's ever been on, because he had so many things around him. And it just showed you that another problem that Bill Belichick had by not surrounding Tom Brady with outstanding people. He did with Randy Moss for 1 year, then wouldn't want to re-sign him. Gronk retired because of Bill Belichick. And they got some little receivers that you barely know their names. If you surround your quarterback with somebody good, it's going to help the quarterback position. And that's what I'm looking for Kansas City to do, because they need to surround him with some great receivers. You know, he's got a great tight end, but I don't think he has a great receiver core, because they led the league in drops last year. But we'll see, man, because I think he's put on a performance the last couple of years. Even in last year's Super Bowl when they played Philadelphia, they were losing, and he brought them back to win. This time, he did it so succinctly that you have to think, man, is this guy from another planet?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think when you compare him to Tom Brady, I think the intangibles of him being able to run the ball, him having the maturity that he does, him having better arm strength than Tom Brady, I think all of those attributes, just from a skill perspective, puts him in another tier outside, above Tom Brady. And so even though he doesn't have seven Super Bowls yet, I think he's well on his way. Given the talent, if he can stay healthy, as long as he can stay healthy and play, Kansas City may be one. If Andy Reid doesn't leave, because I think the only way that Kansas City could get derailed is if Andy Reid leaves and they bring in Nathaniel Hackett to ruin everything. But that's probably the only way you can keep Mahomes from actually having a chance and put him in the discussion of winning the Super Bowl every year.
The thing about it is that, you know, Brady took a pay cut all these years from the Patriots and Tampa Bay. I think he was only making $25 million, and the other quarterbacks were making, Dak was making $58 million. Lamar Jackson making, you know, up there a lot, and Watson of Cleveland. But I think the quarterbacks should do that. They should go to the team and say, listen, I don't need $50 million. I think we can do it on $30 million. And be able to bring in other players. But I don't think there's many people who can be selfish like that.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm right there with you. When you look at what San Francisco did in the Super Bowl, what do you think? I mean, everybody's talking about the overtime and why did Shanahan take the ball to begin? I don't even think it was about that. I think it was about I think they got too comfortable, like what Detroit did when they were ahead. I think they got too comfortable in the second half. We were like, look, we're whooping their butts. And like I said, Kansas City is an average team where San Francisco has all the talent in the world, offensively and defensively, but you didn't take into account Mahomes. And I think San Francisco let their foot off the gas because their players became complacent, dropping balls, fumbling balls, and they could have put that game away. They had opportunities to put the game away, but didn't.
No, I think you're correct on that because I think that, you know, you don't realize, and they should have realized by Mahomes coming back last year from 10 down and coming back to beat San Francisco a few years ago. I think he should realize that. So anytime you have Mahomes, maybe people don't believe in him. But if you don't, just watch that Super Bowl again. He's the best that's ever played.
Yeah, and that's a great discussion. Now coming up in our third quarter, we're gonna talk some more football. We're gonna go around the NFL. We're gonna talk some basketball, some things that happened in the league that we wanna address, some issues that we wanna get fixed. But you're listening to the Expressway on alumnimedia.com. Check us out each and every Wednesday live from 10:15 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. If you miss us live, you can always check us out on YouTube starting at 9 a.m. every Friday. But we'll be back with more on the Expressway. Welcome back to the Expressway. You're listening live on alumnimedia.com. Check us out each and every Wednesday, 10:15 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. I'm Charles Shumley-Waite here with the BT Express. BT, man, I have never seen, you're older than me, so I'm a defer to you, but I've never seen a head coach leave their position voluntarily to take an offensive coordinator position. What in the world? I'm talking about Chip Kelly from the UCLA Bruins, left UCLA. They had an okay year. They didn't beat a Power Five team, and their record is showed it. So was it because Chip didn't have confidence that UCLA, as is currently put together, couldn't handle a Big Ten schedule? And that's where they're going. They're going to the Big Ten. And so he got scared and said, you know what? Forget this. This may ruin my legacy, my career, my opportunity to get another high-paying job. I'm taking off to go to one of the best teams that I know will have a number one recruit, a top five recruiting class every year in Ohio State and become their offensive coordinator and take a $3 million pay cut because he's still making about $2 million at offensive coordinator.
Well, either way, he has not worried about paying the mortgage at all. The only thing I don't like about him is that he always leaves jobs too soon. You know, he's done that before because he was at Notre Dame and left to go to LSU. I think that he's got some problems because he's thinking too much. I mean, really, if you think about it, they're going to have a super conference in the college football pretty soon. Have everybody over here, and then the also Rams are going to be over here. And he wanted to get with the good one before everybody takes off for the, you know, from the bad ones. So this is going to hurt college football. I think you're not going to have that many good teams anymore. And it's really going to see what's going to, you know, because coaching has got to make a difference from coaches going to the NBA. I mean, from the NFL to the college ranks, you're going to see more coaches doing that, because college football has got to be tough when you got to pay the players. You got to con people. You got to tell them lies. That is the toughest situation from a coach. I get, and every single coach, and you can tell if I'm telling the truth, every coach lies.
Yeah, and think about it. Chip Kelly, if you look at his career, he was at Oregon, had an amazing team. That's the one who, I mean, he was really, let's go to spread offense. We want to run 50 miles. We want to run 50 plays in 2 minutes, right? He started that whole get up on the line and let me just call a play. And he had success, and he put Oregon on the map, right? And then after Oregon, he tried to bring that style of football to the Eagles. You remember they went to the Eagles. He signed with the Eagles. That kind of, it was good for 1 year, and then it wasn't. Once teams, especially NFL, I think the reason why you can get away with a style of play in college is because you don't have 11 players on the field, unless you're Alabama, that's very talented, right? So you're going to pick your worst on any given Sunday. You're going to find at least two players, especially as a defensive back and a wide receiver, that you're going to be better than. And so you can pick out mismatches in college a lot easier than you can pick out mismatches in the pro game. And that's why I don't think he had the type of success that he had at Oregon with the Eagles. And so my question is, why in the world you went to UCLA to resurrect the Bruins? Why in the world would you leave UCLA to stay within the conference and go to a conference rival now in Ohio State?
Well, see, the thing that kind of gets me is that you used to have to sit out a year, even as a player or whatever, to be able to get back into it. Now it's just like free agency every year for everybody. I mean, the portal thing allows players to not miss a season, and the coaches have always been like that for a long time. And I think he's just taking advantage of it. This man is well off. Look how many teams he's coached over the years. Started out, as you say, at the University of Oregon. Now he's going to Ohio State. He's been everywhere. He knows how to do things. The thing about it is it doesn't show any kind of settlement for the players. Because if you want to get out of there because of you thought a coach was coming there and he doesn't, then you have a chance to leave yourself. So I think college football hurts itself a lot. We're going to see in the coming years what's going to happen, because I think we're not going to see as good a team as we've seen in the past.
Yeah, and then when you look at these power conferences, think about these power conferences. You look at the Big Ten. They got 18 teams in the Big Ten. Right. And really, the only reason they're all in the Big Ten is because they want the money. They're getting about 50. The college is getting about 50 to 60 million a year just to be in a conference, but to never win a game. Think about it. Rutgers, Maryland, they're all in the Big Ten. Right. And have they done anything good? Have they won? I think Rutgers went to a bowl game this year, but and Coach Schiano is doing a great job with Rutgers. But you're still playing against Ohio State, Michigan. Penn State to some degree, Michigan, right? Yeah. You still got those teams, and let's not talk about the SEC outside of Alabama. Auburn's not good anymore, so you don't look at it. You got Alabama, you got Georgia, and you may have Florida, right? Yeah. And Florida hasn't been that good, right? So outside of, you pick the three top teams. You got Texas A&M, Texas is in the SEC now, Texas A&M. You got all those schools. The bottom feeders are going to get crushed. The Vanderbilt. Will Vanderbilt ever be a school that's going to win more than six games in that conference? It may. I would say no.
Not in football. Maybe in academics. We're having a changing whole course of everything, because I think the NCAA has almost hurt the sport, because I first started hearing about it when the March Madness comes around and each team that gets to the Final Four makes so many millions of dollars, and the NCAA makes millions after that. And people say, well, what did you do with the money? And they don't have an answer for it. So that's the reason they allow the players to go where they want to go, the coaches to where they want to go. You can go to any conference you want. It's totally in chaos now. And I don't know any ways to fix it unless you bring in a commissioner that's going to stop everything. But I don't see, once you start giving people money, how do you get back out of that? Because then you know, like before, when you and I were playing, then it's underhanded. You offer people money under the table. And I don't know if they want to go back to that formula, but the way they do it now, it's definitely going to hurt college football.
Yeah, and what do you think about is sticking in college? There's another story that came out that they're going to allow players to create a union. And are you in favor of college players creating a union for themselves?
I don't understand that at all, not even a little bit. I understand it in the NFL, totally understand it, because the owners of the NFL would stick them under the thing if they could, and give them a dollar each, you know, even all the millions they're making. But I just think that you got to figure out a way to make everybody happy. And I don't know if that can be done at all, Charles. I really don't, because you got too much money out there. And people, you know, people don't even know how much money we're talking about. But I just think that college football has got a long way to go, and they should just wait till they get to the NFL, because you think about it.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
You know, you and I both graduated from college. I don't know how much money that is, but that's a lot of money that we saved our parents, because we got scholarships and stuff like that. So I never thought anybody owed me anything. As a matter of fact, even at Texas Tech, every time I go back there for their inter-squad games, whatever, the alumni things, they build new buildings, new law offices. And my one buddy says, we should get restitution for that. And I said, how come? He said, because we went to 3 bowl games in 4 years, and that's where they bought all this stuff from us. I totally understand that, but then I have to think about how I got a scholarship and how it tremendously helped me. And like I said, I couldn't, you know, I don't know if I would have got this if I didn't get a scholarship.
And the other thing is, now you're considering college athletes who are going for an education as employees. When you unionize, you're an employee. So now you're an employee of the school, not a student of the school, but now you're an employee of the school. So why even go to class? If you're an employee, I don't have to go to class anymore. You just reclassified who I am. So you can just hire me to play football. I don't have to go to school, and I can make my money and go to the NFL after 2 years. Is that what you're saying?
See, I don't like that at all. Because, you know, I always worry about people that are not intelligent. You know, and sometimes the people get up and they say, you know, we finna get down. I can tell he didn't do nothing in school. I could tell right away. And so I think we need to get more intelligent athletes, because the money they're making now, this is CEO type of money where they can come in and help neighborhoods. I think that what I've always wanted was that some of the athletes around the world, especially in NBA basketball and the quarterbacks, should at least help build up neighborhoods, because they got enough money where it's a write-off almost. And even in bad neighbors, they can come in there and build some, you know, low-rent housing for people, or get a you know, a recreational area. LeBron James is building a $100 million recreational place in Los Angeles just to help underprivileged kids and kids. And I think we need more people like that, you know, to do it in the United States. So I just, you know, I have a problem sometimes with the athletes not being mature enough to be able to bring everybody up.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm glad I'm not the NCAA. I'm glad I'm not a college ADs, because it's quite a conundrum they put themselves in. Coaches moving everywhere, teams trying to leave conferences, Florida State trying to leave the ACC because they see the SEC making $60 million a year. It's crazy, but you got a lot of stuff going on. But you're listening to the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles. Show me the way here on alumnimedia.com. We will be right back to wrap up things in the fourth quarter. We're going to talk some NBA basketball. Tiger is back, hopefully with a semi-normal schedule. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about how LeBron James and Joel Embiid may be swapping teams But we got more to come on the Expressway in a minute. Welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way right here with the BT Express. Billy Taylor, you're listening to us and watching us live on alumnimedia.com. Check us out each and every Wednesday from 10:15 to 11:15 a.m. on alumnimedia.com. If you miss us on live, you can always check us out on YouTube starting on Fridays at 9 a.m. Check the rebroadcast every Friday at 9 a.m. Hey, BT, Tiger is back. He got a new clothing line. He left Nike's with TaylorMade. Did you see the new logo, the new Tiger logo? He got like a Tiger imprint. All this looks like it's a great logo. I just trying to see it in like the corner of your shoulder. I want to see that logo. So how much money is he going to make off of that logo? Probably a couple hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, it depends on the negotiation. What I was impressed as heck with is Michael Jordan's negotiation, because you saw his mother came in there and said, we want a percentage of every shoe that is sold. And that's how he was able to buy the Charlotte Hornets for X amount of dollars. Now he just sold them for so many billions of dollars. I just think that Tiger Woods has been, he's been one of the great athletes to do well with his money. I don't know where he's spending it. He's got to be spending it somewhere on his golf or something, or bringing new things into tag. But I think a clothing line for Tiger would sell immediately, because think about it, he's one of the greatest golfers. And really, if you think about it, and I'll be honest with you, he's the only time I watch golf on TV is when he's playing. And what's really incredible for me is that his son, his name is Charlie, and I think he's 13 now, and he's winning tournaments. And that's blowing me away. To have your son, you know, as complete of a resume as you have, to have your son winning tournaments at the age of 13, Tiger's got to be pumped like anything. Yeah. I think it's going to keep him probably in the game longer, because his son is doing that. They say Tiger's going to go for the senior tournament pretty soon when he gets 50. So I just hope that his body heals, because he works hard at what he does. And I'm just anxious to see how he and his son do. He could be catting for his son pretty soon.
That's right. And he's hoping to play at least a tournament a year moving forward. So I'm curious to see what he does this year. If he stays healthy, will he win? The question as we move on to the next segment, will he win a tournament this year? Do you think he'll win one this year?
Well, I like the Masters for him, because it's not long of a course. It starts April 7th, I believe, and the length of the course is not as long as the other ones. That's why he has a chance at that. If he can come in with his legs feeling good, his ankles feeling good, then I think he has a chance anytime he's out there, because he's a competitor. And competitors always want to win and be competitive.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like I said, I'm curious to see what he does this year. His first tournament is this week. He's the host of the Genesis. So curious to see what he does. Now let's turn our attention to the NBA. A lot of stuff going on. We just had not free agency, but the trade deadline this past week. Not a lot of movement, not a lot of big names going on. One of the things that I thought was funny is that I think Daryl Morey reached out to the Lakers seeing if LeBron James was available for a trade. And then Rob Pelinka reached out to Daryl Morey to see if Joel Embiid was available for a trade. So all fun and games, but they got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of exciting teams in the East. Obviously, the Boston Celtics is the king of the East. They're the number one team in the entire NBA. Then you got Cleveland Cavaliers. You got your New York Knicks doing great things outside of all of the injuries that they have. Obviously, Julius Randle was hurt. Ananobi is also injured and out for a few weeks, but they're still winning games. And so, and Milwaukee, your boy Doc Rivers, what is going on? Took that team and they probably just won two games. They're like 2-6 in their last eight games since he's been the coach. So what's going on with Milwaukee? Let's start with Milwaukee. What's going on with Milwaukee? Is it just getting comfortable, new scheme, especially coming in the middle of the year? Or everybody talked about Joel Embiid being a cancer or being a not fit player, a good teammate. But I'm starting to think Giannis and his crew, he may be trying to call all the shots at with the Milwaukee Bucks. Because doesn't he have both of his brothers on that team?
Yep, he's got both of his brothers. He's running the show. And even though he said he had nothing to do with the coach leaving, I believe he did. I really do. And the thing about Doc Rivers, it's hard to come in the middle of a season or a third of the season and try to implement your program and then everybody be on the same page at the same time. Because think about it, Charles, you're learning a new scheme. You're learning new plays. And doing that in the middle of the season, that's difficult. So I got to give Doc a few more days. But he's got to make them step up. He's got too much talent with Damian Lillard and Giannis to not be able to overcome those things. So if he doesn't, it's coaching, because it's got to be up to him to create a scheme to make them start winning games. I like the Cleveland Cavaliers. I really do, because they're playing extremely well and they're playing fast and they look like they're having a big time fun. The Knicks, I think the Knicks have to get up to where the Cavs are, number two position, or where the Bucks are, if they're going to avoid, you know, playing the Celtics or somebody up there pretty high in the playoffs. And the Knicks just had some good trades where they got some shooters from outside. So I'm looking for the Knicks to get that Garden crowd going again. And I like the buzz in the air when the Knicks are good. And I think it's one of the best places in the NBA to play. And I'm looking forward to see if the Knicks can get better from week to week.
But when I look at the Knicks, right, I don't see the Willis Reed Knicks that won an NBA championship. I see the Patrick Ewing Knicks that just get right there on the board and get you so excited and be like, nope, not this year, right? And I think that's what you see this year with the Knicks, is like they got enough talent to say, yeah, we got a chance to go to the NBA Finals. Nope, not really. I'm just joking. I just wanted you guys to buy some tickets to come to the Garden, buy some $10,000 tickets for nosebleed seats just to come into the Garden and watch this piece of trash team that just leaves everybody heartbroken at the end of the day. I don't know, but that's the perception I get when you look at that team. They're not a very talented team. I think they're more on the lines of Indiana, how Indiana has been playing well because they just got coaching. You talked about coaching. Indiana, they do have Tyrese Haliburton, who's a great player, great young player, up-and-coming superstar. And if he continues doing it, he will be considered a superstar. But that scheme that they play quick. They're the highest scoring team in the NBA, and the scheme works. I think Tom Thibodeau is a great coach. He's put those players at the Knicks in a great position to win. He highlights what they can do well and maximizes it. But I just don't think they can compete with a Boston, LA Clippers, Denver Nuggets, or even, I think Cleveland and New York are similar teams. But if Milwaukee can get their act together, I don't even know if they can compete with Milwaukee.
Well, the thing about it is that Thigaboo, the head coach of the Knicks, is known for wearing his players out. I mean, he runs them so hard, he plays them a lot of minutes. He only plays seven or eight deep, and you're wearing people out by paying them 40 minutes a game. Because I even thought just Jason Bronson played too long as a point guard, but they had nobody else to come in for him. He's got to give the players a little bit of rest before the end of the season. The Julius Randle thing, that might help itself because he's resting now when he was losing burnout at the end of the season. He didn't have good playoffs. So if he can get Bronson and Julius Randle in there playing with OG, they got a chance. They really do. And anything can happen once you get in. You got to be in it to win it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Turn your attention to the West is getting exciting. Your LA Clippers, James Harden, even though he still can't make a shot. When you got Kawhi Leonard, who is like a bucket getter, right? And Paul George and all, he got talent around him. he can just be a facilitator. As long as he gets out of his mind that he's a scorer anymore, he's okay. But I think the problem with him is he thinks he's a scorer, still a scorer, and he wants to just put up threes when he can't make threes at the clip he used to make threes or score 55 points a game. That's not him. And as long as he comes to the realization that that's not him, he's good. But the Clippers have been playing well. Obviously, Minnesota is the number one team in the West right now. I just don't trust them. I think they're young. I just think they always collapse in the final 2 minutes of a game that they should win. I think Minnesota has the talent to be a contender for the Western Conference Finals. I just don't know if they're ready yet because of the maturity level.
Well, I'm not going to go against the defending champion Denver Nuggets because it seems like when they have to play, they do it. The LA Clippers, the only reason I don't know is because if he hurts his fingernail, Kawhi Leonard, he's out for a year. I mean, he's got to be perfect to play. You know, time management is one of the things. Paul George, he's had to labor the stuff by himself when Kawhi Leonard's not there. They got to be the favorite. And Ty Lue, the coach of the Clippers, used to coach Cleveland, did a good job, won the championship with LeBron James. I like him as a coach. I think he's matured over the years. And I would go with the Clippers, but you got OKC, who's pretty good. You talked about Minnesota. Utah's not bad. Dallas is okay. I just don't like Kawhi Leonard, but Lucas is going to keep him in it somehow. But if the Clippers stay healthy, you got to say now they can be the NBA champions.
Yeah, I think it's between them and Denver. You can't keep Denver out of it. I think Minnesota is a wild card. If they can get their act together, they have the talent. Yes, they got those two big centers. You got Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, that size and length going up against the Clippers. I think that you have people that this Clippers like driving, and when you got Gobert standing inside, you don't want to drive, so it leaves you on the outside. So you don't have to worry about the paint as much. I think Minnesota provides a matchup problem with LA Clippers if they can keep their mental game on and sharp. So the West is exciting. I think the East, outside of Boston, is up in the air. You don't know. All the teams are about the same after that. And what is up with the Miami Heat? You know, Jimmy Butler, do you think Jimmy Butler is old. It's like he's on a vacation plan. He takes a hiatus for about 50 games and comes back and says, I'm the man. I'm glad I can make $35, $40 million playing 25 games a year, because that's what it seems like he plays. 25 games a year. Okay, playoff time comes. All right, I don't care if it's a play-in. We'll do it. We'll take care of it. That's my 30 games I'm playing a year. That dude doesn't play a lot in the season, does he?
Well, I don't like that either. And I like the rule that if you don't play 65%, you can't win any awards, such as Player of the Year, MVP. And I think that hurt Embiid about that situation. But what I wanted to also mention to you is that the All-Star Game is coming up this week. She was a highlight for the NBA to help out, and they got to do a better job at the game. But Stephen Curry is going to go against a lady who's the leading three-pointer for the NBA. Her name is Sabrina Ionescu or something like that, and she's a great three-point
Ionescu.
Shooter.
Ionescu.
And she's a great three-point shooter. She's going against Stephen Curry. That's going to be a good battle because she hit more than he did in their three-point shootout they had for the WNBA. So I think that's going to help a little bit because the NBA needs some help on the All-Star weekends because the three-point shooting is great. The dunk contest is so-so. The skill contest is so-so. And the game on Sundays usually is kind of a laughter.
Well, the dunk contest, they're trying to – because it was better last year because they allowed G League players to participate – now you're going to have a lot more G League players who don't care about health. They don't care if they break a leg during a dunk. So it should be more exciting because you're going to have a lot more G League players participating in a dunk contest where you get those crazy street dunks that you see when you're only at the playground, them doing crazy street dunks. But I have respect for women basketball players because they can shoot the ball. For some reason, it seems like every time they shoot, there was a lady from, I forget where she was playing, USC. score 50, what, 30, 45 points? No, 50, scored over 50 points in a game, 51 points in a game. More than Caitlin, the kid, the girl, Caitlin. Yep. Score more points than her. I think the women's game is getting to be an amazing product. I mean, you got more people watching it now. They said the All-Star game, the women's All-Star game, had more fans watch it than any other time ever, in an NBA, a WNBA basketball game. So women's basketball is coming up. I think women's sports in general is coming up. You got women's soccer is probably one of the most watched sporting events, women's sporting events of all time. So it's exciting for women's sports in general, and this can only help it.
Well, yeah, and I think that I've been blown away by women shooters. I'm telling you, because I went to Texas Tech. There was a lady named Cheryl Swoops, and I felt I could beat her in basketball, and she beat me like I was a drum. That humbled the heck out of me. So now I don't ever say women are not as good as men in any kind of sport. So I just think it's good for the game. It's good for the league. And I'm anxious to see that shootout on Saturday on the NBA All-Star Weekend. It should be outstanding. But Charles Wade, anything else before we go?
No, that was it. I'm excited, looking forward to see what's going on this weekend, All-Star Weekend, Tiger Woods. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Okay, I got to thank Ben back at the studio. Ben takes great care of Charles and I, makes us sound better than we are. Don't forget, we're on every Wednesday, and we're coming off on a tape on Fridays on YouTube at 9 a.m. on alumnimedia.com. For the great Charles Wade, ladies and gentlemen, Show Me the Way, I'm Billy Taylor, the BT Express. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.